Thank you guys for coming. Have you ever been so much in love with somebody that you wanted to spend every waking moment with that person? Have you? I think we can all relate to that. My first love like that was in 1968. And I just returned from the military, and I was on a high because I'd just gotten discharged. And I just reported back to the Kokomo Police Department to pick up my duties again. And one night I was out and in this restaurant, and this beautiful girl walked by. She was the most beautiful girl that I'd ever seen in my life. And my heart just reached out. I mean, like, and you guys know what I'm talking about. I mean, it was just pounding. And I thought, I need to get to know who this girl is. So the hunt was on. I was in high speed pursuit. And in hot pursuit too. But I actually thought she was somebody else. And I called her by another name when she went by, and obviously she just ignored me. And so then, as time passed on, I began to find, I found out who she is. And so, I mean, I had to get to know this girl. And so I pursued her, and I finally got to talk to her. And it was so encouraging that she lived in an apartment complex. And I said, I didn't tell her this, but I went and got me an apartment on the opposite end. And I thought, we're going to meet in the center. And so I began to pursue her, and she accepted my invitation for a date. But it just encompassed me so much that I wanted to spend every waking moment with her. You know what I mean, guys? Can you remember that? And so through a course of time, we met and began to date, and I had to find out if she was feeling the same thing that I was feeling, because she had dated another guy. And I told her, I said, well, it's like this. If you want to date me, I'm not playing second fiddle to anybody. So I won. But anyway, and honestly, I'm still pursuing her. But you know what, guys? That's the same kind of love and pursuit and compassion that Jesus is looking for out of us. And it's something that we have to go after. It's something that we have to pursue. And for us today, the critical question for us today is how much do we love Jesus? If you could have heaven without no sickness, all your loved ones and friends, and all the food you could eat without gaining any weight, I added that in there, leisure activities that you've ever enjoyed, your motorcycle, your new car, your nice home, all the natural beauties you have ever seen, and your physical pleasures that you have ever tasted, and have no human conflict and no natural disasters, could we be satisfied in heaven without Jesus? I couldn't, because I remember where he brought me from. If we love Jesus as much as we should, we could never be satisfied. The question is, do we even know Jesus personally? Or are we just going through the motions? We show up at church, we make our appearance, we show up at huddle, and we make our appearance. Do we have a reverent intimacy with God the Father, His Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit? If we don't, then guys, what's wrong? I believe it's because we've not been born again. And we have a daily, minute by minute, hour by hour, love relationship with Jesus. I know this is tough, and it's sometimes judgmental. See, we all must have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And God's word is sharper than a two-edged sword, even to a cutting us under. And he tells us, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Maybe it's time to examine our heart, guys. Are you having a hard time understanding God's Word? Have you lost your joy? Has your love relationship with Jesus diminished, or do you need to be born again? Do you know about Jesus, but you don't know Him personally? Having a passionate, crazy love relationship with Him? Is Jesus about to spit you out of His mouth? Are you lukewarm, neither hot or cold? I didn't want to come in here, guys, and give my talk and tickle your ears and send you out thinking that everything is all right, thinking I've paid my dues, I showed up at Huddle. I know that the series of crazy love has been tough for all of us, and we've had to re-examine our heart. But you know what? There is a sacrifice and a commitment that comes along with our relationship with Jesus. And in Romans 12, 1 and 2, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I can guarantee you one thing, guys, that God spoke to me long before he spoke to you. This has been a 3-month process. And I've been in and out of the Word, studying it, trying to be able to speak the truth and trying to be able to speak what's right. It's been a long and ongoing process. I believe it is a time of re-examination for all of us. I wanted each one of us to truly examine where we are in Christ. So I have a saying, if the shoe fits, wear it, in Jesus' name. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3, most assuredly, I say, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus asked Jesus, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel. You must be born again. There needs to be a point in time, guys, that we can look back and say, Jesus spoke to my heart, and I received him as personal Lord and Savior. I didn't say that, guys. Jesus said it. And if we truly want to know Jesus at a new level, a reverent intimacy, we must be born again. And there must be a point in time. And my point in time was November the 18th, 1979, at the Oakford Baptist Church in Oakford, Indiana. Pastor Jeff Harlow was preaching a word. It was 11:45 a.m. on that morning, and I received Jesus as my personal Savior. And my wife was sitting on one side of the sanctuary, and I was sitting on the other side of the sanctuary. And I was so timid back in those days, I got caught before the service started, and I wouldn't move. But God had us separated for a reason. And so what happened is when the altar call came to receive Jesus, I took off from one side, and she took off from another side, and we met at the altar, and we've been serving Jesus ever since. So I believe from the depths of my heart that there has to be a point in time that we make that decision. Jesus received me as a wretched sinner, saved by grace. Then he began to clean me up, but it took him a while. And he's still working on me. Larry remembers that song. My personal observation is that we have a church full of chosen frozen. We've heard that terminology before. Pew sitters who know about Jesus but don't know him personally and have a relationship with him. And only about 10% of us are doing God's work. It's not about all the good works, guys, we are doing. Our works will come after we are born again and saved. In Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved, through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I believe there are a lot of good people who do a lot of good works that are not saved. We cannot work our way to heaven. Salvation comes after we're born again by having faith in Jesus. It's not up to me to say one way or another who is born again and saved. We are all individually responsible. I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me, that we can help each other along the way. I remember being in a premarital retreat one time. Barb and I, along with some other folks, worked with some young people and try to help them understand and do some things that not make the mistakes that we made early on in our Christian, early on in our marriage. And so we worked with them. And I remember two guys specifically that were there. These guys had been born and raised in Christian families. They had gone to church the whole time that they were kids growing up into adulthood. All they did is they knew about Jesus because they had never received him. And I'll never forget that these two girls came up to Barb and I and said, "These guys need to be saved. They know about Jesus, but they don't know him personally." And so we began to talk, and we spent time with them, and both of them received Jesus as their personal Savior. The Bible says, "Ye shall know them by the fruit." And what is the fruit? It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, goodness, and temperance, self-control, and gentleness. And notice, guys, the fruit is singular, so we must possess all of the fruit. There's a story that I heard one time about a man and his son. There was the dad was telling the son, he said, "There are two wolves inside of all of us. One is evil. It is anger, jealousy, selfishness, lies, greed, inferiority, pride, and ego. And the other is good. It is love, joy, peace, humility, hope, kindness, empathy, and the truth." The boy thought about it and he asked, "Which wolf wins the battle?" And the father quietly said, "The one which you're feeding." Which wolf are we feeding, guys? The question always goes back, do we love the Lord God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves? That will tell us which wolf we're feeding. If we are lukewarm, we know which wolf we are feeding, guys. And can we say, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name I will lift you up. My hands, my soul will be satisfied with the riches of food. With the singing of lips, my mouth will praise you." Psalm 63:1-5. Do you know why I praise the Lord? You know why I love him? Because I remember. See, guys, I remember my broken life before Jesus. I remember the no peace and no joy and no happiness. I remember when Jesus set my feet on solid ground. Men, we must pay attention. We have to remember God is all around us. You see, I remember being at White's Institute, singing with the peacemakers, and that were police officers in uniform, and 67 kids came to the altar and gave their hearts to Christ. And we thought they were looking at us like a cow looking at a new gate. But you know what? God's word doesn't return void. See, I remember being in a United Methodist church over in Rocheville, Indiana, and there was a young boy that came to the altar, and he was praying, and so I knelt down and prayed with him. And I asked him what I could pray for him. And you know what he said? He said, "I've been coming to church." He was about 10 years old. "So I've been coming to church." He said, "But I want my mom and dad to come to church." And so we began to pray about that, and we prayed for quite a while about it. And then it was about 10 years later, I walked into the Cataract Laser Institute, and there was a lady working a desk, and she said, "Oh," she said, "you're Phil Templin, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah, well, big deal, you know." She said, "I just wanted to tell you that you prayed with my son 10 years ago at an altar that we'd all attend church, and you know what? We're all in church. And you know what? See, I remember." We have to remember, guys, so many times there's things happen around us that we don't remember what's going on. We have to pay attention. Now, this one's going to be a little bit wild for you. I remember not long ago being at Bridges on a motorcycle ride. And Barb and I have a Goldwing, and it has a suspension, air suspension. You have to pump up the shocks when two people are on it. Well, I forgot to do that. And when we were riding, we bottomed out three or four times. And so I got to the point where I could pump them up, and it wouldn't pump up. It wouldn't pump up. And I said, oh, it's more money. You know that feeling. And so I kept trying it. Drove it all the way home. Got it in the garage. Went out there four to five times. Kept saying, Lord, you know I don't need to be spending this money. And you know what? The next day I went down to my grandson's house down in Westfield, Indiana, and I'd promised him that I would give him $400 so he could have his driver's training. And so I wrote a check and gave him $400. He's 16 years old 2 days ago. And Mark Fisher had Googled, and the shocks to replace that was $381. So God gave me a $19 tip. So I went home that night, and I went out there, and I touched that button. If you've had a Goldwing, you know what it sounds like. And the old shocks started raising up. I said, praise you, Jesus. Thank you. Now, you may think that's happenstance. Some of you may think that's happened. But you know what? My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You see, I remember Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. And that all good gifts come from above. And if we give, it will be given unto us. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You see, Jesus even cares about my gold wing. It's his. See, I remember all the broken marriages and all the drugs and all the violence and suicide thoughts and attempts and sexual assaults that I have witnessed God deliver people from. I remember my granddaughter, Cambry, laying in the hospital bed, 1 year old, all wired up with a respirator on her. She had respiratory problems with a respirator on her. And I remember calling out to all the prayer warriors that we knew. And I remember, see, that when I was later playing golf with Dave Krausor, who's sitting right there, we were on the number two hole at Wildcat. And I got the call that she's okay. See, they told us that they don't know if she's going to make it. But see, I remember that. But you know what? She is full of energy. She's the orneriest little kid. She is the orneriest little kid you've ever seen. She never stops talking and she never stops moving. But you know what? I remember. I remember that hospital bed. So you know what? Ain't no big deal. And I got a whole afternoon of that yesterday. And I'm tired. I remember being in a restaurant not long ago. And this man walked in, he appeared to be homeless. He had the look, the appearance, the clothes that are too big for him, the baggy clothes, the sock cap, his teeth were rotted out. He looked dejected, his clothes were all wrinkled, and he was standing there like this. And I remember the Lord said, buy that man's breakfast for him. So I walked up to him and handed him a $10 bill. I didn't say a word. God didn't tell me to say a word. I walked over and sat down, and a little bit later he came over and he sat down at the table and he went like this. And he prayed. And I thought, well, he knows where that $10 came from. You may say, guys, that's a nice thing to do. Or you may think I was a fool to give a lazy, no good for nothing man $10. A couple of days later, God showed me a scripture and I found in Hebrews 13:2. And it says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some have shown hospitality to angels unaware. You see, guys, God didn't say because he deserves it, or he'll appreciate it, or he'll pay you back, or he'll see the light and be a better person. What he did say is found in Matthew 25. If you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was naked, you gave me clothes. When I was sick, you came unto me. And when I was in prison, you visited me. Men, he said this at the time he was separating the goats and the sheep on who would become the ones that would go to heaven. Matthew 25. Is that crazy love? No, guys, it's Jesus' love. And I did it unto him. Could I go on? I could go on and on and on about God's goodness. I will praise God even when I don't feel like it. And yeah, there are days that I don't feel like it, guys, because it's not a feeling. It's a lifestyle. It's a relationship. Because, see, I remember. Loving God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and my neighbor takes effort. We have to be proactive. Have we forgotten about God's commands and his blessings that he has given us? Are we in a low spot in our lives? Do we need to remember? Look to someone and say, I remember. Or even yet, I need to remember. Think about that. And James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Jesus said, seek and you shall find. I mean, it takes effort. But I guarantee you one thing, it'll be worth it. You see, when we are running towards Jesus and pursuing his love, you don't have the opportunity to wander or wonder, am I doing this right or did I serve enough this week? When we're running towards Christ, we are free to serve, love, and give thanks without guilt, worry or fear. As long as we are running towards Christ, we are free and safe. As we begin to focus on Christ, loving him and others becomes more natural and satisfying. As long as we are pursuing Christ, we are satisfied in him. It is when we stop pursuing him, we find ourselves restless, gravitating towards other means of fulfillment. The lust of the flesh comes in. See, guys, we can have his joy, but it takes effort. See, I love the book of Psalms because they're written to people, are written by people just like me and you. That's why I love Huddle. We come from all backgrounds of life, but we're all one in Christ. And Psalm 16:11 says, you have made shown to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures and your right hand. And Psalm 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy and I give thanks to him in joy. I don't want it to sound like the Christian life is all joy and fun, because it's not. Sometimes it can be really hard. There is pain that all of us experience in our lives. And the book of Psalms also addresses that. In 39:11 it says, hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for help. Be not deaf to my weeping. And 130:1-2 says, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for your mercy. See, I remember crying out for my granddaughter. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In John 16:33, life isn't perfect, guys. Even if we follow Christ wholeheartedly, we will have trouble. It's pretty much guaranteed. See, everyone has a story. Every one of us, some good, some bad, and some ugly. In our pain, God will comfort us so that we can comfort others. And that is why we gather here today, guys, to comfort each other, to uplift and to comfort each other. Men sharpening iron, helping each other and encouraging each other. And let's always remember that. It's not all about me. It's all about all of us. I am your neighbor. Then you're mine. Men, there's a real world out there awaiting us. And we'll go back into it in a few minutes. Hopefully better than when we came into here today. There are non-Christian peoples out there who need to know Jesus that are watching. Are we any different than them? I sure hope so. Our responsibility is found in Matthew 5:14-16. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that your good works will be seen, and that your heavenly Father will be glorified. Men, will we be that light to those that walk in the shadows? If so, we must be born again. We can't do it unless we're born again, saved, know Jesus personally. It's impossible. Guys, do you know about Jesus? Do you know Him and have a personal relationship with Jesus? That's the question of the day. Let us pray. Father, we praise You and honor You for this opportunity that You've given us. God, I thank You for these guys that have come out, Lord, and I pray, Father, that Your Word has spoken to their heart. God, we know that Your Word doesn't return void, so it'll accomplish just exactly what You want it to do. So I thank You for this opportunity that I've had, Father, to grow closer to You, and I praise You and honor You for that. So be with us throughout this day, Father, and be with the table talk, Lord, as they speak to each other and ask them a point in time, do they remember? We praise You and honor You in Jesus' name. Amen.